The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland, everybody. Producer number nine. So much more than a producer. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Great day of sports.
Oh, a heavy heaping of college basketball today. 48 games. Count them, Kelly. 48. No, go ahead. Count them.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
All right, that's enough. 48 games. A second round in the American Athletic, Atlantic 10, Big 10, and SEC. And then quarters, or some version of quarters, in the Big 12, ACC, Big East, Big West, Conference USA, Metro Atlantic, MAC, MEAC, Mountain West, SWAC, and WAC. Cannot wait. We got a bunch of college basketball today. Dallin Cuff will join us. Todd Wishnev in the hizzy. We think here in studio to talk college hoops with us. Zach Cohen, in addition to NBA and tennis, will have some college hoops. And Ed Fang from the Power Rank on college hoops. And a little dose of crack, because it is Zach and Crack. Crack is not here today. He's on the other side of the country. He's in South Florida, I believe, hanging out. And so we will talk to Crack remotely. We won't do the full hour with Crack, especially with this much college basketball, but we'll do a couple segments with him and check in with him, unscripted with the Crack Man, the remote version, if you will. But otherwise, a whole bunch of college basketball. We'll update the Players' Championship. How's Ludwig Oberg doing so far? Don't you have him first round? Is that your guy?
I did not bet him first round leader. Oh, okay. I did bet first round leader Aaron Rye, Sepp Straka, Michael Kim, Joel Damon. Damon not looking good right now. Aaron Rye and Straka, I believe, are one under par. Michael Kim is not teed off yet. Did target some morning guys. Hopefully went to VSiN.com. Wes Reynolds did have a good write-up on I usually focus morning wave guys for first round leader anyways. Just it's especially in Florida, you don't have to worry about possible rain or wind coming in later in the afternoon if you focus in on guys in the morning. But Wes did a great write-up on some of the just trends that have played out over the years at the Players, especially with the early wave versus the late wave for first round leader.
Early going, of course, at the TBC Sawgrass for the Players Championship, golf's fifth major, if you will. Bo Hostler and Jordan Spieth, co-leaders, three under.
Yeah, Spieth with an eagle on two. Ludwig, I think, is one over right now. He was looking good, and then he had a par three where he hit the edge of the green, Gil.
Oh, no.
Putted too hard and putted it off the other side of the green, then had to chip back and two-putted for a double bogey.
That is ungood.
Ungood, not great.
Ungood. Your guy, Sepp Straka, two shots back at one under right now. Again, super early going of the Players' Championship there in Florida. Tennis today. It's kind of country clubbing what we're doing right now, but not official country clubbing.
That's what I was going to say. I'm glad you led with the college basketball, but I am golf and tennis today big.
It's kind of monster. It's kind of monster as golf and tennis both have their sort of fifth majors happening at the same time. Quarterfinals at Indian Wells today, and we have a couple decisions here to be made. We have an IGA quarter ticket.
Yep.
Perhaps more importantly, a Belinda Bencic quarter ticket.
That's right.
Which everybody seems to be riding with. Got her at 6-1. You mentioned the day before. You're like, you know, there's a 10-1 at Stations. So I went to Stations to bet the 10-1, which I did, but I'm not counting it officially as a play because they're like, here, you can have $79 on it. I'm like, thanks. Appreciate that. It's very kind of you.
So, hey, I appreciate the much longer odds of those Stations because able to get those. And I've got Sabalenka quarter as well.
Oh, you
today.
Have Sabalenka quarter.
Yeah,
okay.
Which was even money, I think.
Oh, she's just the cake quarter continues. Yeah. She's got Samsonova today. So again, this is a weird tournament because the match picks for me have not gone well, but the futures, with the exception of the one quarter with Pegula and Osaka, they're all intact, including Carlitos to win it all and Iga to win it all at 4-1. But again, today is the big one with two quarters, with Iga taking on Zheng Xinwen as a big favorite, Iga is, and then Bencic as a slight dog against Matty Keys, who has won 15 matches in a row after winning the Australian Open. Well, you know, part of that was the Australian Open run. So, but I do have two matches that I played today. I am on Bencic once again. We keep playing her in these matches, and she is a dog against Matty Keys, so that's one of the plays this morning. Got her at, plus 105, I believe. Again, VSiN.com/picks for all of these. And then I'm on Daniil Medvedev, minus four games in his quarterfinal today. Daniil Medvedev minus four games in his quarterfinal. Those are the, I didn't send you the picks for graphic, did I?
No, you did not.
Forgot to do. I was like waiting for the graphic. I'm like, oh, I didn't send Kelly those.
I figured you were probably just riding out your quarter plays.
If you're wondering what the delay there was.
So this is where like I like you address this often. It's just it's become some of the most asked questions that we get is about hedging, just regardless of sport, right?
Yeah.
Like, perfect example, not only is Gil not hedging, he's packing up Benchich on the match today.
I don't do that. If I think I have the right side, I don't do it. Medvedev, by the way, minus four against Artur Fils, the Frenchman. So those are the two plays today. Again, Benchich in the match is a slight dog against Keys, and Medvedev minus the games against Fils, but the big decisions, again, on the quarters, Iga not so much because it's, you know, but plus that was another thing at Stations. In addition to the plus 105, there was a plus 140 at Stations, and that they did let me bet full stake. So I kind of have the plus 140, really. I'm not counting the 10-1, but the plus 140 is really where I ended up with Iga, which was a great number. And then bench at 6-1. And some folks, because they listen to the Beating the Book Indian Wells podcast with Drew, have moneyline rollover Belinda. So that's kind of like 11-1-ish if she gets it done today. So we'll see. It's big. Looking forward to that. MLB monthly wins. I just want to sort of step back on this again. For those who missed the beginning of the show yesterday or didn't see the clip on Twitter, I made my March-April MLB monthly win play. Remember, we did this all 6 months last year. We got the win in June with the Houston Astros at 25-1 and 17-1. Went through the whole thing again. If you missed it, Circa is March, April. In addition, DraftKings is March, April. But William Hill Caesars is only April. Okay? Because remember now, the Cubs and the Dodgers start on March 17th. They play a couple games the 17th and the 18th. Everybody else starts on March 27th. So there's 5 days of Major League Baseball in March. But again, it's Circa and DraftKings that are making this a March-April month, if you will, whereas William Hill Caesars is just confining it to the 30 days of April. So one of the and so I landed, we won't go through the process again, but I landed on the Twins at 15-1. They're about cut in half now after we did that segment yesterday. So the Twins, who play six against the White Sox, and I went through briefly what their sort of what the average win total is, season win total is of their opponents. I did it by season win total. I also did it by Pecota ratings as well for those who don't want to have complete fealty to the season wins. And season wins aren't necessarily the correct barometer, but by the way, it's only 1 month, right? It's just we're just using it as a gauge. So I landed on the Twins at that price at 15-1. But I mentioned that the Red Sox, a lot of people are going to like the Red Sox. They were about half the price, right? And they're about plus 825 at Circa, I saw. So, you know, here was what I didn't do was go through how many games these clubs are playing, and maybe this will give you a little bit of more of a nudge in one direction or another if you want to ride or if you want to fade, whatever. In the March-April category of DraftKings and Circa, and remember the tiebreakers are different. That was another thing that plays into the handicaps. DraftKings is a dead heat when it comes to a tie, whereas Circa has tiebreakers of fewest losses followed by run differential. So mine are at Circa because I prefer that. I don't want to get dead heated. You know, as a golf better, dead heat suck.
Brutal.
They really do. When you're only playing 32 games or 31 games, ties are unlikely. So the Red Sox play the most games. They've got 32 in March, April. You see a whole bunch of teams at 31, another group at 30, and then the Angels play the fewest March, April. They only play 29 games. So at DraftKings and at William Hill Caesars, where it's dead heat ties, and by the way, again, William Hill Caesars just April, but when you're talking about ties, playing fewer games isn't necessarily the worst thing because you could end up with fewer losses and get the actual bet cashed. But if we go back to that one more time. So, again, Boston in the March-April category, 32 full games. Most other teams are at 31 and 30, and the Angels play the fewest at 29. Now, one of the assumptions that folks were going to make was, oh, well, the Dodgers and Cubs play those two games on March 17th and 18th. Surely they play the most games in March-April. No, not the case at all. In fact, The Dodgers play, where the Cubs on that, the Dodgers and Cubs both play 31, so even a game fewer than the Red Sox. When it comes to April, if you are playing this at William Hill, and maybe this is even more interesting, when you play just the April games of a 30-day market at William Hill Caesars, and you guys could switch it to that right now, what you will find is that the Dodgers and Cubs play among the fewest games. So the Cubs play the absolute fewest games in the month of April, 24. The Dodgers, along with the Mariners, Padres, and Angels, again, play the next fewest at 25. It is the Yankees that play the most games, even though their schedule's tough, with 28. So what does that say? What it basically says is if you're playing this at William Hill, your instinct to play the Dodgers and Cubs ought not to be there, right? They don't play nearly as many games.
Yeah.
So the assumption that, oh, they started earlier, they're going to end up with... Know what you're playing, March, April versus April. Know how many games are being played, because that's obviously key to all of this. And you can see how that breaks down. Look, as you see all the three-letter stuff for every city, and then you see A's
I was going to bring it up. It's going to be hilarious all season long.
So that's that. Anyway, the other sort of candidate, by the way, I want to mention one other candidate, because my handicap started with how many games do teams play against the White Sox, and I worked back from there. If you think the Marlins are as bad or close to as bad as the White Sox will be, the Mets are actually the team you might land on. And at William Hill Caesars, the Mets are 12-1 to win April. So that's not the worst play. If you played that, I kind of see you as well. So the Mets and the Red Sox are the teams, with my Twins ticket, those are the teams that I'm perhaps most worried about, let's put it that way.
Okay, yeah,
as
makes
competitors.
Sense. 16-1 still at DraftKings,
yeah,
by the way.
The Mets play the Marlins 6 times in March/April. 1 in March, 5 in April. There you go. We'll come back. College hoops extravaganza, beginning with Dallin Cuff, and then Todd Wishenhaven, the hizzy. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Betting Network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now you can check out articles like conference tournament previews for the MAC and the Ivy League. Those have yet to begin. Greg Peterson's best bets in college basketball. Also the Pennzoil 400 preview and simulation. How about that?
Whoa.
And later today you can check out Zach Cohen's best bets in the NBA, Jonathan Davis's best bets in the NHL, and Steve Mackinnon's NBA analytics report. Get access to all the articles on VSiN.com for free through Selection Sunday at VSiN.com/champweek. Looking forward to that. Todd Wishnev standing by to come on the show. Yesterday we were watching college hoops at the South Point, and I got Chrissy and my mishpucha to put the Bencich match on one of the small screens.
Was there a riot?
Well, no, because it was a small screen in the corner. I don't even know if they offered it as a bet. So I was standing, and Todd is sitting in his seat, you know, like in a different section. And he's like, "Hey, do you want to go to lunch at the buffet?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, absolutely. Just let me, you know," because he's all in his college basketball. I go, "Just let me see what happens here. I need a break and a hold of serve, and Bencich wins the match." And so Bencich gets the, you know, she doesn't get the break. It goes back to deuce. Then another point, she gets back to a break, right? So 2 points later, he literally screams to me. He says, he goes, "So if she gets the break here and she holds the serve, then we can go to lunch." I go, "Yeah, yes, Todd, we can go to lunch. I promise you, we can do that." So she did, and we was like, it's like so great.
Don't worry, he's currently looking at us like we are. You described the zoo at Indian Wells. That's what I feel like right now.
We went to the we went to the WAC game last night between Grand Canyon and UTA, Texas, yeah. Arlington, and. Ben Wilson was on the call doing that, and so Todd talked his way into talking to Ben, who's doing the game right before the game started. He got through. He talked his way through security, and then Ben texts me as Todd comes back. He goes, "Oh my God, my color guy was like, where's security?" So I showed it to Todd, and Todd starts screaming at Ben, "Stop texting Gilly about me."
We basically just did the same thing. We just need security right now.
Anyway, Todd joins us momentarily to talk college hoops. We have Dallin Cuff from ESPN. We've got it all situated. Talk college hoops with us. Once again, 48 games throughout college basketball today. We said it Tuesday, we said it Wednesday, but maybe today's the best day. We'll need a ruling. Dallin joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Dallin Cuff, D-A-L-E-N, Cuff, C-U-F-F. How you doing, Dallin? Good morning.
I'm doing very well. Enjoying the champ week. No sleep necessary, boys. We'll sleep, after the Final Four is what we're working with right now.
That's right. Times. What I need a ruling on that. Is today, what is the best day? Is today the best day with most of these conference tournaments and quarterfinals where you get a good volume and sort of a good quality of team? Or is the Thursday of March Madness still the best day?
I think I always have a soft spot for the nostalgia of Thursday of March Madness because, I mean, I remember, like, obviously as a kid, you're trying to, like, I've been trying to skip out on school. In high school, I didn't go. My parents basically agreed. I'm like, I'm not going to school these days. It's just not going to happen from 12 to 5. I come home. And there's just, I just love that. I just love that interaction, that the first time they play the music or they come into the studio and that, it's just, there's a certain feeling that I will always connect with. In terms of the breadth of games, though, I mean, today is pretty, this year especially, the big conference tournaments have to be interesting and compelling at this round, which they usually are. But this year in particular, whether it's the Big East, the Big 12, or the SEC, I'm fully engaged. The ACC, I think the one real storyline is North Carolina. But other than that, I think the other three leagues are really delivering something pretty interesting. We still have some bids to give out, you know, coming up here in the couple of days and the other conference tournament games. So this is up there. This is up there, but I still would take the Thursday March Madness.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. Thursday March Madness. Yes, sir.
Dallin, last time you were on, we were talking about how many different places and shows we were seeing you on. What do your next few days look like? I have no idea, but I'm guessing they are very busy.
It's comical, guys, because now we have all the. If you pay attention on with the machinations of television, we have people on site at the ACC, Big 12, and the SEC now. So I'm in studio today with Tom Crean and Josh Passer, and basically we fill in all the holes. So if it's not a major conference game, we're doing halftimes and post game on that. We're doing cut ins so people know what's going on around the networks. Usually we're doing a halftime. These 12 to 1 a.m. days on Saturdays are pretty normal. You're active. There's a lot of sitting and watching, boys. There's a lot of sitting and watching and waiting for due television. I think I was there for 16 hours yesterday. I probably did 35 minutes of TV. It was pretty remarkable. But we'll be hanging out there again today.
All right. By the way, three more auto bids decided yesterday. McNeese beats Lamar in the Southland. They were minus 500 before the Southland tournament. Patriot League American. A three wood from Maryland, but in D.C. still, American University goes in from the Patriot League as a plus 250 preflop proposition there. And in the Big Sky, Montana, the number two seed, they were 7-1 preflop. Only St. Francis of PA was a longer shot in their conference in the Northeast at 15-1 to get an auto bid thus far. All right, Dallin, what did you land on today in terms of bets?
You said there's so much action right now, so you got to be a little judicious, if you will. So I do like Oregon money line over Indiana. I think that this team, I think they're live to win the whole thing, guys. They're 22-1 in some places. When you look at their wins, whether it be Alabama or San Diego State or Texas A&M, they've beaten good teams early in the season. They went through a little bit of a swoon mid the year. I think they've won seven straight now. Biddle's tough. Shellstad makes big shots. I know Indiana's a desperate team, but I think Oregon plays a little chip on their shoulder, and Dana Altman is really good in tournament scenarios. So really like Oregon on the money line. Marquette money line as well. They've taken on Xavier's. It's a similar situation where Xavier's got their back to the wall. They've got to win this game to feel good going into Selection Sunday. And those things, I think, factor into conference tournaments without a doubt. But that said, you guys remember how Marquette just lost last week against St. John? Mm-hmm. Remember getting your pocket picked with 2 seconds left and losing at the buzzer? Shock up, these guys are ready to play. So I think Marquette, and this is a team that's underperformed, honestly. If they can start to make some threes, man, last 8 or 9 games, they've shot 31%. They've got to make some shots. If they do that, I think they are live to beat St. John's in the semifinal, but you got to beat Xavier first. I like them on the money line. St. Louis minus 3.5 against Davidson. St. Louis played one of the worst games of all time in North Carolina against Davidson and somehow won that game by one a couple weeks ago. I think they played better in this game. I think Avila Swope and Jimerson is a trio that's really hard to guard. They corral Reed Bailey well enough in their debut in the A-10 tournament this year, and I think they beat Davidson by more than 3.5. And BYU plus 3.5 against Iowa State. I loved them when they were getting 8.5 and they won straight up in Hilton Coliseum. I think just like that game, I thought it was going to be tight. I think this game's going to be really tight. I love BYU's team. I think they can win straight up at a neutral venue. Taman Lipsey will be playing from what I've heard, but you mess around with a groin injury right now. We'll see what he looks like. Gilbert's been banged up. I think we're looking at a healthy BYU team winning 12-14 that could win that thing straight up, but I'm going to take the points.
I might have asked you some form of this last time, but I'm curious if your thinking has changed, because what I'm getting sort of anecdotally, Dallin, from folks who I ask, how many teams can win the championship? And obviously we don't know the brackets yet for March Madness. And it seems to be narrowing for folks. I do a college basketball formula, which I've done for years, that has really predicted the group from which the champion eventually comes almost completely accurate, like 97% accuracy over the years with six different bits of criteria. And it keeps coming up: Auburn, Duke, and Houston, with Florida, the only sort of excluder of Florida being that Todd Golden hasn't coached in a Sweet 16 before. There's only been two exceptions of that, Danny Hurley and Kevin Ollie. How many teams do you realistically think, brackets unseen, can win this?
Well, I love your those four I have there, too, and I added Alabama in the mix. I think Alabama is the outlier because out of those four teams you named, the reason I think they have separated or will separate when we come to tournament time is they can win in different ways. It doesn't have to – the game does not have to be played out a certain way. They can grind you in a half-court game. They can win a defensive game. Obviously, Houston can do that. All three teams can really shoot it well. Now, Houston's shooting efficiently, but it's still – they don't take a ton of threes, but they are shooting 39% from the floor. But I think the guard play is great for all those teams. They have bigs. They can offensive rebound. They can win the game in multiple different ways. I think Alabama needs to have the game a little bit more at a quicker pace. If they grind it to a half court, they can struggle a little bit if they got to play half court on both sides. So that's why I think they're a little bit of an outlier. But we've seen them perform at their peak level. They're as good as any one of those teams, and obviously beat at least one of those teams. So they beat two of those teams. So I think those are the five for me that have kind of separated the mix to win the whole thing. To get in the Final Four, I still think there's like 20 teams to get in this thing. Whether it's Texas Tech, I really like, or a healthy Iowa State can make a run. With Maryland, I know they only got it really is that five, that crab five, but God, that five is good. I mean, there's a lot of teams that could be in San Antonio, but I feel good about one of those five cutting it down.
Maryland tried to get back to the Final Four since the 2002 season when they won it all with Dixon, Wilcox, mm-hmm. Blake, that old group. Yeah. Okay, and then so give me, since you bring up the Final Four, we'll let you go with this. Give me the name of a team beyond the ones you mentioned, you know, among those 20 that leaps to mind first that you think could be live.
To win the whole thing?
No, to get to the Final Four among that group of 20. There? Yeah.
One that's going to have pretty good odds, I imagine, is going to be Illinois. I've not looked at it in the last like week or so. I fall in love with talent, guys, and they're a really talented team. And I'm telling you my bias. They are a talented team with a point guard. I know he's a freshman, but has been raised in that European system and over in Spain and is an elite player in Jaka Shonis. And when they're fully healthy, this team is as good as anybody. And I think when you just saw them get shellacked by Duke a couple weeks ago, people are like, what are you kidding me? They're playing better right now. I think they can get themselves to the Final Four based on matchups. And I think that team could be interesting once we see who they've got to play and what the path they've got to go through. But at their apex, I feel like they're a very good team, and Brad Odom's a very good coach, and we'll see what happens. But I think the numbers are going to be pretty good.
Yeah, it's an interesting answer, and obviously you're right. Brackets unseen so far. Illinois, by the way, 15-1 currently, without knowing how Selection Sunday will go to make the Final Four. Dallin, enjoy sitting around. Enjoy the 35 minutes of airtime.
Fellas, thank you. I will enjoy watching ATVs at once just like you.
Dallin Cuff from ESPN, everybody. Appreciate it. Todd Wishnev already complaining that he's already on for one segment. Only one. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Eliminate all the fake handicappers who are pitching fake records. Juice Reel is bringing transparency to the picks marketplace. All Juice Reel betting accounts are synced with the betting history directly from the sports books, so no hiding those bad records. Juice Reel ranks every bettor based on their actual betting record. Sharp bettors can even get paid when others follow their picks. Check it out for yourself. Download the Juice Reel app. Use promo code LETSGO and receive $25 in free app currency that you can use to check out what the best handicappers on Juice Reel are betting. It's free in the App Store, Juice Reel. That's JUICEREEL. Download Juice Reel today. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Always appreciate it. New York Mess 16. I just listened to Scott Seidenberg take credit for the NCAA formula that Gil's been telling us about for years. Oh, that's not good. Don't do that, Scott. If that's true. Shrek McPhee. Sharp intel from a local Vegas book stating that Gil met my mom and dad last night wandering at the South Point. Yes, I did. Innocent until proven guilty. Don't believe all the allegations. I told them to get you in line there, Shrek McPhee. Trying to trip us up with some of your tags here. You are on, what are you on? The under in the Davidson game, under 141.5. NCI 95 Gambler. I'm doing the mechanical parlay rollover on Bencic, and I'm up to 5-1 for her quarter, and that doesn't include the next match. Thanks for all the great insights, Gil. Sam Ginsburg, by the way, Drew Dinsick deserves a shout for that. Sam Ginsburg from Pittsburgh. I wish I could be there with you to keep Todd in line for you, though in reality, I doubt I'd be any help. Enjoy the games. And by the way, my condolences to you, Sam, on the passing of your wife, Mikey Drama 21. Will there be more subliminal messaging during today's show? All day yesterday, I was chanting, cashing tickets is what it's all about. Well, we'll see if we could get through this with Todd. Todd Wishnev, ladies and gentlemen, the star of the Megapod, the Beating the Book Megapod, and of course, one of the stars of Showtime's docuseries, Action, kind enough to join us in studio here at Circa. What do you have to say for yourself, sir?
Well, first of all, this is an ungodly hour to be doing a radio show. Somebody tells me, oh, come on the show. No, okay, so I got to drive 8,000 miles to get down here. And then, first of all, take a shower 3 days in a row. That's a streak.
Oh, congrats.
And then I got to get down here. He tells me you're going to be on for 10 minutes. I'm like, if I knew I was going to be on for 10 minutes, I'm not getting up and doing all this rigmarole. I mean, this is ungodly hour. It's ridiculous.
Does college basketball not start in 28 minutes? Weren't you going to be up anyway?
I could have had another 25 minutes of snoozing.
Oh, my God. By the way, Scott C., we deserve a Todd Wishnev College Basketball podcast. Give the people what they want. Well, we will have Todd on the March Madness Megapod on Monday. We could do that much for you. Would you ever consider doing a regular college basketball pod on your own?
I don't know, Gilly. I watch 5,000 games a day. There's only so many hours in the day, my friend.
I understand. You're a busy man.
I mean, I'm watching Bethune-Cookman Morgan State half the time.
You, for seriously, though, for people who don't know you, right, you watch more college basketball than any person I know. You bet in-game. You actually have people on a big WhatsApp thing that you share all your picks with, and you don't ask for anything.
Well, I tell them, you know, if I win, you can Venmo me something. If you don't have to, of course, but you know, it's nice. Some people do. Some people are say, hey, you know, providing value. I started the season off very weak, and then recently, I've been on a 6 week until I came to Vegas the last 2 days, and I've been getting crushed. But prior to that, for about 6 weeks, I was on a run where I went 15-1 at one point and 16-0 at another point.
Oh my God.
It was incredible.
T. Wishnev, in case Todd...
At T. Wishnev at Twitter, you can send me a thing, but then I have to put you into the group, and it takes time to do all that, so I'm not promising when I'll get you in.
Okay, let me ask you a question. I asked you this in some form before, but let's get your update here just before Selection Sunday, a few days before Selection Sunday. We know the teams at the top. We know the usual suspects. You watch more college basketball than anybody. Give me a group of teams that you think... And we don't know, obviously, you know, how it's going to shake out for March Madness for the big dance. But give me a group of teams that you think are sneaky good that might be under the radar for maybe a Final Four, at least a Sweet 16 run, maybe even a Final Four run, if not beyond.
The teams that I bet, like sneaky teams, like, first of all, I love VCU. I got them 400-1. And then I was told, oh, you should have just bet them to the Final Four. They're never going to win. Like Fezzik and all those. You know, he gives you the business. But whatever. Okay, that's fine. All they have to do is get you to the Sweet 16. You can bet against your pick and definitely make money. I'm sorry I didn't do it the correct way, but I do like VCU.
Yeah.
And I like St. Mary's. St. Mary's, this is not your grandfather's St. Mary's. This is a pretty darn good team, this St. Mary's. You know, usually St. Mary's, you know, they make all this noise in WCC. They lose to Gonzaga, and then they get in the tournament. They get knocked out. I think this team's actually... possibly to go somewhere. Also, like Louisville, I love the little guard they got from Wisconsin, Wepner, Judge Wapner. He's, yeah. I forget exactly, I said Chucky. Anyways, he's very good, and I like, you know, you got to love, you know, guard teams like that in the NCAA. So I like Louisville. I got them 100-1. And then, you know, a team that people know about, but I like Creighton. I got them like 66-1 a while back. Creighton is Creighton could make a real run.
Where do you stand on Clemson? Where do you stand on St. John's?
I love Clemson. I love the coach. I love grittiness. This is the time of year for grittiness. Teams that are smart. Teams that don't turn the ball over. Teams that know when you have to foul, when you don't have to foul. This kind of like Brad Brownell, I believe, is the coach of Clemson. He is very buttoned up. I like a buttoned up team that knows what they're doing and doesn't do stupid stuff. I'll give you an example of a team that I don't consider buttoned up. Illinois. It's not a buttoned up team.
Mm.
Okay. And they don't defend and they're not gritty.
Interesting, because Dallin just mentioned them as a possible Final Four. You disagree.
God forbid I should disagree with Dallin. I'm sure he's a great guy and all. But, you know, come on. I just don't buy
it. Just pointing it out is all.
I don't buy it. No, I don't buy it. Michigan. Come on. Michigan, seriously?
I don't think anybody buys into them anymore.
You got to defend. This is the time of the year you got to defend. For instance, today, and I don't usually like pregame picks, but I know here on VSiN, they love pregame picks. They love pregame picks and they love nine-minute segments. But here's the thing.
Sorry, you only got reduced to nine. Yeah.
I was looking at if I had to pick somebody today, like on a pregame, I kind of like Oklahoma first half plus the points. This is a lot of points. Okay. I think they're six for the game. Probably could get 3.5 for the first half. This Oklahoma team's kind of like an under the radar. And here's a non-buttoned-up team, Kentucky, that sometimes can look amazing and win by 20, and other times they're quite pedestrian. So I would like to take Oklahoma, if you want to do a pregame pick, Oklahoma first half, you know, maybe gets you home.
Okay. Oklahoma first half, a rare pre-flopper for you.
Yeah, rare pre-flopper.
I was asking this of Will Hill earlier in the week, and I'm curious what you – is there a I think about my friend from D.C. who's a casual fan who represents so many casual college basketball fans. Is there a mid-major Steph Curry, Ja Morant kind of player in this
like Jack Golkey for Oakland last year?
I guess so.
Who was making all those threes?
That's right. Yeah.
I'm sure there is, but there's so many. You know, I'd have to like pick through all the teams.
Riverside somehow came out of the Big West.
Okay, Riverside, they're not going to make the tournament.
They have to win the Big West. Yeah.
But let's say Riverside made the Big West. Yeah. The guy Hargraves is amazing. I love that guy. There's teams that you have all the time you can't win with. Like, for instance, San Diego State. If I make a bet in a San Diego State game, I'm going to lose. I could take the under, I could take the over, I could take San Diego State, I could take the odd. It doesn't matter. I can't win with San Diego State. The team that I can win with, that Riverside team. I love that team. I can smell it when it's going over, and that Hargraves just goes off. I love that Riverside team.
Which of the teams at the top, beyond Illinois, but I'm talking about the tippy top, which of the Tennessees of the world?
I like Florida.
You love Florida.
Gators, baby. Gators.
Okay, that's great. You didn't let me finish the sentence, though. Which of those don't you believe in? Which do you think is the pretender of the group?
Oh. Well, Tennessee, you never really can. Well, Arizona, is Arizona considered?
Yeah, that's a good one.
I don't like Arizona. I never like Arizona. I don't like that coach. They're a joke. That's a perfect example of a non-buttoned-up team. Not gritty.
Is it buttoned up or buttoned down?
Buttoned down, buttoned up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'll tell you somebody. You want somebody who's like a little under the radar?
Sure.
Texas A&M. They can't put the ball in the basket, but they can offensive rebound and they can defend. And this is the kind of grittiness I'm talking about. When the game gets tight at the end, and they made some amazing comebacks on the road this year in a very difficult SEC. That's the kind of team I like.
Is there a coach that, all things other being equal, that you lean towards as someone you would bet on, or a coach to the opposite that you're like?
I love Patino. We were talking about Brad Brownell. I love him.
You don't like Tommy Lloyd.
I'm not big on Tommy Lloyd. I do not like Tommy Lloyd. I like Kelvin Sampson.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a
who
good,
does not get the credit sometimes.
Doesn't get the credit.
Yeah.
Doesn't get, because it's not pretty basketball. But see, that's the kind of team that also wins in the tournament. Because defense always shows up. Offense, last night it showed up down at the Orleans. But offense does not always show in March. People get what we call sphincteritis. It gets real tight. Here's another one. Steve Fezzik, I'm sure, will be screaming about this. NCAA tournament opening round games, first half unders. Everyone is tight. Everyone is scared. That's the kind of thing that you're going to see. But that's a Houston team. It's perfect for them.
Before you go, I should mention that UConn is actually going for a three-peat. Are they in any way? Could they have a path that you'd be like, oh, I could see them actually making a deep run?
I don't. The last 2 years I had futures on UConn. In December, and I'm not a guy who does a lot of futures. December of 22, before the first run, I had them 25-1. I even bought a ticket for my friend Sean. I said, you have to have this. He almost lost the ticket. But anyways, we won that. Then last year, I took them 11-1. I don't see it this year. I just don't see it.
Was this worth it for you? Was it everything you imagined it to be?
No, this is a joke. We can do this for 8 minutes.
More college hoops next.
Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN betting splits are free right now until March 16th. You can see our exclusive betting splits from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbooks, two of the most respected names in the industry. See the percentage of bets versus handle on every game across major sports to make smarter bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits free through Selection Sunday. That's this Sunday at VSiN.com/champweek. Did I say free?
I like free.
Free. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Oh, I'm scared. GV, New Jersey, New York. I was going to say that listening to Todd's stories in Vegas is like listening to stories from Bobby Fischer's handlers, and then he tops it by complaining about how showering for 3 days straight is a record. He was very proud of that.
Streak.
He's like, I'm on a streak.
That was a good lie. Streak.
That was one of the first things when he came in the studio. He goes, Gilly, I'm on a streak. 3 days in a row. I'm like, that's wonderful. Primetime, Cowboys underscore Cubs one. Yo, oh, I'm sorry. The only thing that could have improved Todd's segment would have been you reading tweets for 10 minutes of his spot just to give him something else to complain about. His perfect nickname is Scotch. An acquired taste, no doubt. Money Caperletti, mid-major lightning rod player. Oh, he wants to answer the question. If they make it, Eric Reynolds from St. Joe's. Okay, that's a good answer. Rick Olier. Oh, wait, Wishnev in studio? It's been a while, but our grievances with Todd back? Oh, yeah, Wishnev Wednesdays when we did grievances with Todd. Oh, that was pretty grievancy heavy, if I had to say so myself right there. Kevin Ryan Gill just tuned in this morning. I have to say, Crack looks so different without his hat and with a scraggly beard. Yeah, Crack will come up here momentarily. C. Spackler, love the positive energy that Todd brings to the show. And Linda Cardia. Oh, we always love it when we have a diverse demographic tweeting in. Linda Cardia. We'll try to catch the other half of Todd's segment later. I was surprised he wasn't as whiny at the start as I thought he would be. Was just going to skip it altogether, but I wanted to give him another chance. I'm practicing being more tolerant. Good opportunity. Ice Cold Gambler, I like Todd, but how much time does he want on ANG? You guys only have a two-hour show. We need to fit Crack in those 2 hours also. Sorry, Todd. And then last name Nash. Todd yelling, we should have Wishnev Wednesdays at the Hard Out is exactly the type of pregame segment I need before this big Thursday of college hoops. It goes on and on. Do you want more? Brian Grierson, between the three-day shower streak, the fez shade, and sphincteritis, inject more Wishnev content into my veins. And then Wolf, Todd is a character. Get him more minutes. A-Rel, just one segment with T-Wish is diabolical. That's all we had for him. Zach Cohen is here. He's patient. He only gets one segment. Why should Todd get more than one segment? How you doing, Zach?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Very well. Zach's betting on X, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, to talk not one, not two, but maybe three sports. Let's start with tennis. Indian Wells, we are at the quarterfinals, as they say in the tennis hardo world, the business end of the tournament. What you got today?
I have Svitolina plus 1.5 sets against Andreeva. I know that's a little bit scary right now. Andreeva's probably the best player in the women's tour based on what we've seen over the last 3 weeks. But I just think it's unfair to expect her to win in straight sets. I think Svitolina is still a little underrated at this point. Obviously, this is a former world number three that is playing some high-level tennis. I feel like we treat her like she's 35, but you know she's 30 years old. I still think that there's a lot of good tennis ahead of her. And I just think that she's going to be a difficult matchup for Andreeva. I think Andreeva has picked off a few big servers and power players over these last few weeks. I think Svitolina has got the ability to kind of grind a little from the baseline, make things tough. I think it's going to end up being, you know, a three-set match. Maybe Andreeva wins it, but I liked minus 135 for Svitolina.
I don't hate it. Don't hate it at all. Svitolina might be the type of player that will give Andreeva, the upstart, some trouble. Anything else?
Yeah, so I parlayed Griekspoor plus 1.5 sets against Runa with Medvedev to beat Fies. And that's a play where Griekspoor's just won two matches in a row against Runa. I think that his ability to just kind of rack up holds gives, you know, Holger some trouble. Holger is a player that, while highly talented, is very erratic, throws away service games. That's kind of really bad against a no-nonsense player like Griekspoor. So I think in this match, I could see Runa winning in three. Again, it's like the other one, but I do think he's going to win a set. And Medvedev, I just think, I'm curious what your numbers say, but he's starting to trend upwards again with the serve percentage. His hold percentage is back up around 85. I've noticed that his steal percentage with Tennis Viz is back up to where it was when he was in his prime. And I think for as much as he complains about the courts in Indian Wells, it's clear this is maybe his favorite tournament. I know that he hates it, says he hates it, and complains nonstop, but two back-to-back runner-up finishes, and now once again, deep again here.
I can answer that question off memory. His 12-month numbers on hards are like 105-ish, 100s average. 6-month is like 106. 3-month is like 110, which is elite. Yeah. So it's it really is trending upwards. You're absolutely right. And you're right. For all the complaining he does, historically, he hates this court. He seems to be doing great on it. He's gotten to two straight finals and has lost both times to Carlito. So he's trying to do that again, trying to get to the finals for a third straight time. College basketball, which is not usually your strike zone. Do you have anything today in college hoops?
Yeah, I took Marquette minus 2.5 today. I do bet college basketball. It's just the type of thing where, you know, I'm doing so many different sports. We have so many great people at the network that I try to lay off until I'm really needed, which is around now for March Madness. You're going to see a lot of college basketball from me. But I do think this Marquette team is a little bit better than what we've seen throughout the regular season. And I think Xavier is a little one-dimensional in relying on Fremantle. I think that Marquette minus 2.5 is a really good play today. I also have a slight lean on Iowa State against BYU. I really like Iowa State this year. I think it's a team that can win the NCAA tournament. BYU is just a completely different team away from home. So I like the Cyclones in that one as well.
All right, you have any futures tickets in college hoops?
Yes, I have UConn to win the Big East at plus 450. That was one where I just kind of believe in Hurley getting his team to play well throughout the season. It's kind of like Medvedev, honestly, where he's complained all year about this team, but they are still elite offensively. Defensively, they have some struggles. They do turn the ball over a lot on offense, but I kind of think that, you know, the sense of urgency at this time of year helps with those things. I think the players are going to be, you know, a little bit more careful with the basketball. I think everyone's going to play a little bit better defensively. I kind to think at this time of year that while it's great to have a really strong defensive profile, I think that a mediocre defense tends to get better and lean more towards, you know, above average or good. That's one of the reasons, actually, I really like Gonzaga to win the tournament this year. I think that that's a team all year long that has been unbelievable on the offensive end, a little shaky defensively, but I think we saw against St. Mary's they played a good defensive game, and I think we're going to see more of those throughout the tournament.
Yeah, a couple follow-ups. Gonzaga, when we were at the West Coast Conference tournament with Chrissy and Parlay the other night, Gonzaga was the inspiration for me thinking of what's the team that is most familiar to the casual fan from year to year in this age of transfer portal. And I looked at Nembhard and Battle, and I was like, oh, okay, maybe it's Gonzaga, and that sort of started that thought. The other one was when we brought up UConn here again, UConn to win the Big East tournament. By the way, you and Dallin are simpatico on Marquette today. I think he's on the money line. But UConn, you know, it's not often in our lives we have a shot here to see a three-peat. And no matter how remote one might think it is for UConn, I keep having to remind myself to bring it up, because you don't want that to sort of sneak up, you know, not talk about it, and then all of a sudden, hey, they're in the Sweet 16, and it becomes, you know, an increasing possibility. Do you think they have, like, if they got the right path, could it be just like, you know, just muscle memory for them?
I don't think they're going to win the tournament. I think they've got a really good shot in the Big East. I think it helps that, you know, they're going to play at the Garden, where they're always going to have really good crowd support. I think winning the tournament is a little bit of a taller order. I just don't think they're as talented as these past few teams. I mean, I like that they have, you know, McNeely on the perimeter. I love, obviously, Caravan's great, and they have two, you know, solid rim protectors there. But I think that the guard play is lacking to go out there and win, you know, six big games in an NCAA tournament.
Okay, to the National Basketball Association. Anything tonight?
Oh, it's an ugly card tonight. I'm sure Kelly's already talked about that a little bit, but I do like the Nets to beat the Bulls. I just think Chicago, for as good as they've been playing lately, they are going to be without Josh Giddey tonight, going to be without Lonzo Ball. Those are two players that have been playing, you know, really good basketball for them, doing a really good job of kind of setting the table for them offensively. Giddey has somehow earned himself like a $40 million deal. I'm really curious to see what happens in the summer, because we were clowning that trade when they got him from the Thunder, and now it looks like a great deal for a team that is a little farther away. Obviously, the Thunder did well to get Caruso, but Giddey has just been hitting on all cylinders for them. But I do think the Nets go into Chicago tonight and beat them while they're shorthanded. I think we saw the other night Brooklyn is still, you know, competing. We saw them beat the Lakers the other night. I think that this is a team that is going to continue to fight down the stretch, even though I know a lot of people believe that they should be tanking.
By the way, Thunder go into Boston last night without Jalen Williams. They beat the Celtics. Power rank your top four teams in the NBA for me right now.
Oh, man, I don't even have four. It's three for me, but I would say it is still going to be, you know, Boston, and then I think it's the Thunder and it's the Cavaliers. But I will say, I texted Kelly and JVT last night. Cavaliers are still the best bet for me to win the NBA Finals, just because I do think it's close between those three teams. So seeing them out there plus 550, plus 600, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Cleveland's going to have home court advantage against Boston in the playoffs. We've seen, you know, all year long that they have a strong, like, analytic profile that rivals both of those teams. So seeing them kind of a notch below those two in the odds board, it's a little weird to me.
I think you're right about that, but the question for four was strategic, because it forces NBA hardos to be like, okay, who is four? Like, hold them to it.
I'll answer it. It's the weirdest answer you're going to hear. I think that the Timberwolves are the second best team in the Western Conference. I think, yeah, I took it 20-1 back in December. I would still take it right now. They have been red hot. I don't think that win in Denver last night was fluky. I know it was a bad rest spot for the Nuggets, but that team is healthy right now. Mm-hmm. They finally figured out how to play with Randall, and they're still out there at long prices.
Thank you, Zach. Crack next on A Numbers Game at Visa.